I see interpretation on there now.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody, for your patience. So sorry for that. We were back up and running, and I promised to make up in time for our meeting today, so we will not try to go over because of this difficulty.
Ya debe estar funcionando la interpretación. Si se pueden comunicar, encontrar con la intérprete, que tenemos una intérprete nueva, y perdonen de nuevo por el...
Great. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining.
Montserrat o Alicia, si alguien está, si me puede confirmar que sí está funcionando la interpretación y que sí están conectadas. Oh, ahí. Okay. Oh, did we lose Helen?
En el canal de español me puede comunicarse por el chat si están si han podido comunicarse con la intérprete.
Alicia, ¿sí puedes escuchar a la intérprete?
Que me hable, por favor.
Helen, are you on? And if so, can you?
I don't see her on right now.
I don't see her on either.
No la escucho.
Parece que no está.
Todavía no está.
Okay, everybody, I'm so sorry for this technical difficulty.
Se están conectando, yo creo.
Let's see if Helen can log on again. Okay, Chewy, can you turn your camera on? Hey Chewy, if Helen doesn't, since Helen isn't here yet, and I'm not sure what happened, why don't we go ahead and start the meeting, and I can be, let me see if I can make myself as the interpreter and I can make you the host. Do you have access to the presentation?
I have it open.
Okay. Or Chewy, I can share my screen. I can share my screen and I can still do the interpretation. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
Diciendo Montserrat que se está metiendo y que no tiene ni sonido ni cámara. Que no nos puede ver ella.
Yes, Montserrat, porque tú estás, oh yes, some of you registered, sorry, I went away on vacation and everything fell apart. Some of you registered for the, promote to panelist, registered for the meeting, and so I'm not sure, well, let me switch you to panelist. So Montserrat, creo que estás como miembro del público, y Margarita también, déjeme promoverlas a panelistas. And Salvador, I see you there too. Let me get you out of attendee mode and into, and Silvia too. God. Okay, so sorry everybody. Is there anybody else in the steering committee that is in attendance, in the attendee mode? No? Did I call out? Okay. Do we have Helen yet? We do have Helen. Okay, let's see if we can launch the interpretation with Helen. It is not wanting me to make Helen the interpreter. I can see everybody else except Helen.
And Helen, is Helen's sound connected? Because it looks like she's not able to even.
Oh yeah, Helen, it looks like your sound is not connected. If you connect the sound, can you? I think that's why I can't make you the.
She's not shown as muted.
She's not someone with the microphone. Okay, I'm just gonna launch myself as the interpreter, Chewy, and I'm gonna share my screen.
Daniela, you're on the other channel.
Oh. Okay, so why don't you just start? And I'll share my screen and we can go. Okay, vamos a empezar la junta y vamos a tratar de. Al tiempo, okay. Okay, Chewy, do you want to start? Okay.
Okay, everybody, we're gonna get started. Daniela is gonna be translating for the moment until we're able to figure out what's going on. Welcome everybody. Thank you again for your patience.
Gracias por su paciencia.
As we were trying to figure everything out. To get started. We're going to be going through a few things today. It's not a heavy meeting, just a lot of information going through presentations.
So
we're going to get four report backs from each subcommittee. We're going to get an update from district staff on the toxic hotspots rule update. We'll be discussing strategies to recruit additional steering committee members. And we'll have a presentation from the US Navy about their greening initiatives at the San Diego Navy base. We'll also be getting an update on next steps for the incentive funding and additional funds that were announced. And there's also a request to, for the steering committee to sign on to a couple of support letters to CARB on an advanced clean earth rule and funding slated for AB 617 in the state budget. And at this moment, I'll pass it on to Bill if he has anything else to say for welcome remarks.
Just wanted to welcome everybody tonight. Daniela was going to make a couple of announcements, and since she's interpreting now, one of them is that since the last meeting, Bob Card, the director and air pollution control officer of the Air Pollution Control District, has retired, and Rob Ryder, one of our members, is now the interim director. Yesterday was his first day. So welcome, Rob, and I think you can unmute if you have a few words you want to say.
Rob está ahí, si quiere decir algunas palabras.
Guess Rob doesn't want to say anything. The other thing is that Joy Williams has now moved from the primary member for EHC, and David Flores went from alternate to the primary member. And then we had another member, and I'm trying to remember her name. She's a reporter for the San Diego Union Tribune, and she was put on the beat for Barrio Logan, so she's had to resign from steering committee.
So,
part of our agenda today is to get some additional recruitments going.
So,
that's it from me.
Y esos son todos los
welcome.
Bienvenidos.
Thank you, Bill.
Gracias, Bill.
So at this moment, we're going to do a quick roll call for steering committee members. So I'll be naming off folks off this list. So if you can respond that you're here, we'd really appreciate it. So for City of San Diego, Ashley.
En Ciudad de San Diego, aquí presente.
Thank you. Jack Monger. I see Jack is here, but cannot hear.
Jack está, pero está funcionando.
Sarah Joby.
Sarah Joby.
Larry Hoffreiter.
Here.
Elisa Arias.
I'm here.
Thank you. David Flores.
Present.
Thank you. Raymond Pei. Roman Partida Lopez.
Here.
Thank you. Shayla Sartbas. Or Stephanie Yoon. Here. Jose Marquez Chavez. AC Dumas.
Here.
Thank you. Liana Rios. Filomena Moreno. Sandy Naranjo.
Present.
Thank you. Ted Gottschalk.
Here.
Thank you. Hillary Medina. Alicia Sanchez.
Present.
Thank you. Margarita Moreno.
I'm here.
Thank you. Irma Ortiz. Giapsi Gomez. Olympia Andrade Beltran. Noreen Riverol. Vanessa Contreras. Salvador Razo Abrica.
I'm here.
Thank you. Montserrat Hernandez.
She put in a chat. She put in a chat earlier that she was having camera and audio problems.
Okay, so she's now here. She was in the attendee box, and also Helen is now the interpreter. So, Alicia, ¿sí puedes escuchar a Helen? Helen, are you able to say so?
Ya le escuché.
Okay, gracias. Okay, so thank you. So continue, Chuy, sorry. And Montse is...
Got it. Mm-hmm. And last name is Silvia Calzada.
Present.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody.
I didn't hear my name, Jose Marquez.
Yes. We have you down.
Joy Williams.
Thank you.
And Montserrat Hernandez.
Thank you.
And Raymond Pei is also here, Chuy.
Got it.
Okay, and I'm back. Thank you, everybody. Sorry for that. Snafu there. So, Chuy,
¿está aquí la traductora?
Sí, está la traductora.
Soy Montserrat.
Sí, está
sí, la. También está Alicia y hay otra persona de nombre Margarita que también.
Sí, está la interpretación, ya empezó.
Ya empezó la junta, ¿verdad?
Sí. Ya empezó la interpretación.
¿Está usted traduciendo?
Oh, there we go. ¿Ahí se ve?
Yo sí los veo. ¿Me ven a mí?
¿Y ahora sí escuchan la interpretación?
Ya oí su voz, pero ahorita ya, como... Ya me escucho. Perdón, sí, ya la escuchamos, pero no está interpretando todavía.
Ok, perfecto. Sí, ya podemos empezar y perdón.
Sí. Okay.
Thank you, and everybody, I'm so sorry. Gracias. For all of the snafus.
Y perdón por todo lo que pasó ahorita.
Ok.
Do you have any additional announcements? Daniela?
No additional announcements. So let's just maybe move to the vote on the, Jack is unable to mute. Okay, Jack, I will fix you. Let's just go ahead, Chu, if you wanna lead the vote on the approval of the minutes and the agenda while I fix Jack. Chewy, you're muted.
Oh, got it. If we can get a motion or and a second for approving last month's meeting minutes and this meeting's note agenda.
I'll move. This is David.
And this is Jose. I can second that.
Thank you. And just like we discussed last meeting, I'm gonna write yes. And if you can write your name under.
La persona que está traduciendo no se le escucha bien su voz. Se le corta. Sí. Ahorita sí la escucho.
Got it. So if everyone who can approve the meeting notes and the agenda could write your name under the yes. Thank you. Perfect.
Okay, great. So with that approval, then Chewy, do you want to, the next agenda item is follow up to the May meeting.
Perfect. So quick update. So we updated the charter based on everyone's revisions. They suggested last meeting. This included clarifying language on alternate voting privileges, providing onboarding on materials to incoming members, and exploring the option, depending on capabilities and logistics, of extending virtual meetings past the pandemic. Additionally, after reviewing the charter, district staff noted that the code of conduct participation.
No se le escucha bien, disculpe. No sé si sea su teléfono, pero no estamos escuchando bien la traducción.
Daniela, maybe you can give a quick translation after I finish.
Yeah, entonces yo puedo dar una traducción, un resumen a lo que termine Chuy, en español.
Thank you. And then after reviewing the charter, district staff noted that the code of conduct agreement that was talked about last meeting was not required based on the language and the charter. But so no one has to sign an agreement or anything, but we encourage everyone to review and take the time to look at the new draft charter, which is now adopted. And it's dated June 2020. And at this point, I'll pass it on to David Flores on an update on the CARB.
Voy a dar el resumen que en mayo Chuya, si se me pasó algo, por favor repítelo, que en mayo aprobamos la acta constitutiva.
¿Estás aquí en este canal, Margarita?
Sí.
Pero, ¿me escuchas algo?
Sí, estoy oyendo a Daniela.
Oh, pero de la traducción.
No, yo voy a.
Apenas dijo que la va a dar.
¿Me escuchas, Montserrat?
Ya había empezado.
Ok, sí, voy a seguir en con el resumen en español, que se aprobó la acta constitutiva final en el último mes y se les compartió a todos esa versión final. Se decidió después, hablando con el distrito, que realmente no se necesitaba pedirle a los miembros del comité que firmen el código de conducta, así que no hay nada que tienen que firmar. Y ¿hay algo más, Chuy?
No, es todo.
Es todo. Ok, y ahora vamos a darle el micrófono a David para que nos dé la actualización, un reporte de la carta que le mandamos a CARB pidiendo una extensión en el SERP. So, David, si quieres empezar en inglés. Y Helen, no sé si puedes tratar de acercarte un poco más a tu micrófono y hablar un poco más fuerte para que las personas en el canal de español te puedan escuchar mejor. Pero David, si quieres empezar, David, if you want to go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Just about 15 minutes ago, received a response to the formal request by the steering committee from Richard Corey, the executive director at CARB, through Vernon Hughes from the Office of Community Air Protection. And while the response is that there is no way to really offer an extension. We are the first steering committee, along with the district, to submit a formal request. And CARB understands the position that we're in with trying to work both community engagement and the different agency stakeholders of our steering committee. So with that, CARB did provide steps that if we are unable to submit a fully vetted SERP with elements needing more information or additional work, CARB is suggesting a series of 7 steps that together with the district, we can go ahead and document what work is being completed and what work will be left as needing additional time or development. And so the steps point to an ability for us as a committee and the district to go ahead and move forward with a 2-step process, which is good news, because I think what we can do is go ahead and highlight the actions that will be recommended for SERP strategies and implementation, but also identify the actions that need additional community engagement efforts. So, so I think it's great because we can continue to work. What we will have to clear up at a future meeting is a review of these steps and confirm that the subcommittees and the APCD agree on what will be submitted forward when the deadline is due in December. And I think Bill can probably also share this letter. I just finished reading through it, but we can share it to the full committee. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get that posted, David. We're having problems getting things posted today, hopefully tomorrow.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, are there any questions on that item? ¿Alguna pregunta ahí o comentario? Okay, great.
Hey, David, I have a question. Sorry, Daniela.
Go ahead.
I don't know if Montserrat had a question.
Who had a question? Sorry.
Well, I do, but I thought I saw someone else's name pop up. Thank you, David, for that. Thank you, David, for that report back. I'm curious, you mentioned that we were the only ones who have submitted a request. Have you, by any chance, had any conversations with other communities who've been selected to present the SERP this year? Because it just seems that, that we're the only ones who are in this situation. So I'm just curious if whether you've had any other conversations with folks.
I have not, Roman, but Mr. Corey does state in his letter that there are 3 other SERPs in development and that they will also offer them the similar strategy. And I only know that early on, I'm going to say back in March, some of the other SERP committees I was hearing were trying to figure out how much work they could do with the existing timeline back then. So I think it's probably going to be just a matter of time before they also move in that direction.
Thank you.
Great. If anybody has any other questions, you want to raise your hand in the chat on the steering committee? Okay, I see one hand up in the attendee room, so I'm going to call on David. Oh, David Salardino from ARB, allowing you to talk. Thanks, David. You can now address the committee.
Hi, guys. Thanks. It's Dave Salardino at ARB again. And just wanted to respond to that question. So as David Flores mentioned, we have not received any official requests from any of the other air districts who have year two communities are working on.
No estamos escuchando la traducción.
As you folks are. But I will say that I know South Coast in their steering committee meetings that they have had, in particular for Eastern Coachella Valley, they have indicated some timelines that they are working on with regards to the development of their emission reduction program. And in that, they have recognized some of the impacts that have been happening to their development process and right now are looking at a potential for not necessarily getting this finalized in the December timeframe, but maybe the early part of the following year of next year. But again, we have not had a request from them officially yet.
Okay, entonces solo que está diciendo que no han recibido otros comités directivos en el estado peticiones formales para una extensión para los SERPs, pero que sí que recibieron tuvieron una información, un reporte del comité en la área de el London Empire que sí están teniendo tienen también preocupaciones de cómo poder completar el SERP en tiempo, así que están trabajando con todos los comités. Así que, sorry everybody, it seems like we're having some issues with the interpretation, so I'm going to be repeating some of the reports in Spanish as we go. Okay, Montse y Margarita y Alicia, voy a tratar de repetir lo que se pueda, y si pueden usar el chat para comunicarse conmigo para ver si hay algo que necesito repetir. Okay, gracias. Okay. Anything else on that? And thank you, David. Okay, if there's no other comments, then we're going to move to the subcommittee updates, and we're going to start with Ashley Rocia Tremonti on the SERP subcommittee update. So Ashley, if you want to unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yeah, actually it's going to be Sandy who's going to give the update for the SERP subcommittee.
Oh, so sorry. Okay, Sandy.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I hope you can all hear me. So I'll be doing the quick update for the SERP subcommittee. So I'll just be real quick. So the SERP subcommittee, we've met twice this month. In these meetings, we've had myself, Ashley, Jack, Roman, and Joy, and Sylvia Casada, and a few other folks in these meetings. And so the first meeting was very general. We discussed about our frequency of the meetings, how often we would meet. We also talked about, you know, exactly what is the SERP as it serves as a blueprint. We also talked about the timeline of how the SERP will be, as far as the draft presentation, getting community input, having community input from National City, Barry Logan, that coming to us, then going to the steering committee, then, you know, following the process after that. We did get report back from Jim about like source attribution report, which would be available late July, that would demonstrate where pollutants are originating in the AB 617 communities, and that the current available data demonstrates that diesel particulate matter is the pollutant of concern. We also discussed at our other meeting, the Office of Environmental Justice, which, thank you, Bill, we have that as an agenda item, so I will discuss more there. But the other discussion we had is other SERP strategies, an overview, and so we discussed about West Oakland and talking about the need of having a stronger connection to the city in the context of land use. So I don't know, Ashley, if you wanted to add anything that I may have omitted from this report.
No, I think you did a good job. That was a good summary.
So yeah, so that was a summary. So I don't know if there are any questions from the committee.
If you have any questions, raise your hand in the chat box. Okay, seeing none, we're going to move to the truck subcommittee. I'm going to invite Larry to share his, Larry Hoffreiter is going to be giving the report today for the truck subcommittee and for the port subcommittee. So I'm going to invite him to share his screen to bring up those presentations. So I'm going to stop my share, Larry, and you can go ahead and share your screen when you're ready.
All right, thank you. So just give me a second. I'm going to try to share my screen here. I just got a couple of slides I want to share. Can everyone see that on the screen by any chance?
Yes, we can see it. If you want to put in presentation mode.
Oh.
Put it in full screen too, Larry.
How do I do that?
File.
File. And then.
Or go to, is it view? Go to view.
Go to view. And then full screen mode.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Oh, let me go back. Let's see if I can go back. So, okay, great. Well, thanks everyone. Hopefully you guys can see this clearly. First I'm gonna report out to the on the AB 617 truck subcommittee. So you can see we have a number of steering committee members and others on the right-hand side. And we've had 5 meetings to date. So basically I think most everyone on the steering committee knows, but the city of San Diego has a truck haul route. So one of the things that we're looking at is as we work on trucks, we want to figure out ways to help make sure that we support that that truck haul road. The other thing that's important here is you can see in the black outline, we have the 10th Avenue Marine Terminal and the National City Marine Terminal. So those are both port facilities. But all of the pink area is the AB 617 portside community. So one of the challenges that we're working on is we're also going to be looking for opportunities to reduce emissions associated with trucks within the community, not just at the port facilities. One of the things that we've been able to do at the port and this subcommittee has been a lot of help in this regard is to try to understand where our trucks are going. We received direction from our Board of Port Commissioners in March of this year to identify particularly where some of our trucks are going on a regular basis. So what we did is we did some interviews with some of our customers, some of our tenants at 10th Avenue, and to date we've received, I think, probably about an 85%. We've been able to capture approximately 85% of truck activity based upon those interviews. And we're gonna be doing the same interviews for National City that are currently underway. And this is essentially just some preliminary data I wanted to share with the steering committee that our subcommittee is working on. We have 3 cargo types at the 10th Avenue Marine Terminal. We have containers, dry bulk, and break bulk. And on a monthly basis, we have approximately 2,800 trips that that move container cargo. So of those, one of the short routes that might be a candidate for electrification is a short haul route to the National Distribution Center in National City. So you can see the 520 or the 20% of those trips on a regular basis go to National City. The other one, in terms of dry bulk, is we have a Otay Mesa facility where we have cargo that is transported there on a regular basis, and that's also about 20, maybe 30 miles away. So that might be another good candidate to see if it can be supplemented with some electric trucks. Then the other thing where we're gaining information is as we talk to people. We have an existing tenant right now at 10th Avenue, and it's possible that they might be doing some additional cargo next year, depending upon how the economy looks and the market demands. So we could be seeing an additional 600 trips for an existing tenant there that would also be going to Otay Mesa on a regular basis. So the one other thing, and we haven't gotten very far on this, but I wanted to let the steering committee know that we're looking at it, is if you look at the bottom chart below, you can see some comparisons when you look at electric vehicle, natural gas, renewable natural gas, and renewable diesel. And on the left-hand side, you can see the different criteria: pollutants, NOx, particulate matter, reactive organic gases, or ROG, and GHG. So as we look at ways of reducing emissions, one of the items that the subcommittee is going to be discussing is if there's any room or if there's any space for natural gas or renewable natural gas. We don't have any recommendations for you today, but we are going to be looking at that, because you can see that it doesn't do much for the GHG emissions, but you can see some pretty good reductions when you look at NOx and particulate matter. So that's essentially the report out for the truck subcommittee. Does anyone else on the subcommittee want to add anything to that? I think you're muted, Daniela.
Hearing none, do we have any questions for Larry? Thank you, Larry, for that. Great. If there's no questions, then do you want to go on to port, Larry?
Yeah, that'd be great. Let's see if I can do this one. I'm going to stop share. I'm going to try to share another screen. New share. Let me know if everyone can see that.
Yes.
Okay. So the port subcommittee has met three times this month. You can see kind of a general overview of what we discussed at our different meetings there. The last meeting was pretty exciting. We talked about substantial EV charging at port parks, and we reviewed some projects associated with the land use subcommittee. And then we looked at some preliminary findings from the port's cargo handling equipment inventory. So I'm just going to go through this real quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but at the bottom here, on the left-hand side, we have essentially three terminals. We have our CST, which is our cruise ship terminal, our NCMT, which is our National City Marine Terminal, and TAMT, which is our 10th Avenue Marine Terminal. And then in the second column, you can see the different types of cargo handling equipment. And then the columns that follow, we have gasoline, diesel, propane, electric, solar, and then a total. So if we go down to the very bottom here, you can see that for all of our terminals, we have some gasoline. We have about 52 pieces of diesel cargo handling equipment, the majority of which are at the 10th Avenue Marine Terminal right now. When you look at the National City Marine Terminal, they really don't have much diesel equipment in that regard, any that we could find. We have a little bit of propane, but then we currently have about 77 pieces of electric pieces of cargo handling equipment. And again, we have 11 of those at the 10th Avenue Marine Terminal. So again, this is our cargo handling equipment inventory, and the hope here is to attain a baseline, and we'll be looking at the, let me look at the next slide here. This just gives you a sense in terms of the type of equipment is in the left-hand column here. We have different size and capabilities of forklifts, yard tractors, cranes, and top handlers. But then you have the description of it, the model year, horsepower, fuel, and then the annual hours of operation. So what we're doing now is we're looking at the tons per year that are emitted for NOx, DPM, and the CO2e or GHG. And we're trying to identify which ones are the highest polluting and which one would be most appropriate to be upgraded and or replaced. On the right-hand column, we have the cost to replace this specific piece of equipment with its electric counterpart. So this is essentially, again, just a snapshot in time. This is where we're at right now. But the goal is for the port subcommittee to identify equipment at our marine terminals that are appropriate, that we should target to be upgraded to electric. So the next step, once we identify those pieces, is to reach out to the owners of that equipment and to try to obtain, hopefully, some type of a verbal commitment or some type of approval to move forward and to try to get that type of equipment replaced. And that's all I have on that committee. And again, if there's anyone else on the subcommittee that would like to add anything, or if there's any questions, I'm happy to please let us know.
This is Joy. Sorry, I didn't put my hand up or anything.
But, go ahead. Just go ahead.
Well, first I wanted to thank Larry for being a good sport and doing the report back when he was already doing the track one. So appreciate that. And also, you know, just for the port doing all that work to compile that information on the diesel equipment they have and how much it's being used, you know, the hours per year, and start looking at, you know, what makes sense in terms of cost effectiveness. As far as recommendations that we could be putting forward to go into the SERP. So this is all really valuable. And I also want to acknowledge the members of the committee who are port tenants, who've also been willing to, you know, look at their own operations and start identifying some opportunities for emission reduction. So it's valuable and appreciated to have their participation in the committee. So we understand our deadline for coming back with some recommendations is really the end of July. So, you know, this will be getting, we'll be starting to, you know, finalize what we think we can go forward with as far as recommendations and identifying work that maybe can be done, you know, during that extension time. So on our next meeting, I think we'll be hearing back on the CARB's proposed vessels at berth rule. So that'll be coming up at our next meeting. So that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any comments or
questions? Yeah, this is Jack. Can you hear me okay this time?
Yes, sorry about that, Jack.
No, not your fault. Just a question for Larry on that last slide with the, that listed the equipment and then the costs for the various pieces, electrical pieces. Can you give us an idea of just what the price of in other words, what a user, what a company, whether it's a company or a port or whatever, is paying for a non-electrical piece, just to kind of get a sense of what comparison there is between the cost of a electric forklift and a regular old, whether it's a diesel, propane, or whatever forklift?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, Jack. And unfortunately, I don't know at the top of my head for the forklifts. I could certainly find that out and get back to you. I am a little bit more familiar with trucks. I think EV trucks, what I've been reading lately is that they're about 4 to 6 times more expensive for the demonstration electric vehicle on-road trucks. But I don't have those figures at the top of my head for the cargo handling equipment. I apologize.
No problem. Thanks, Larry.
Sure.
Great. Any other comments or questions?
Daniela, the one other thing I might just add, if I could, is we're slated to bring our update to our Board of Port Commissioners on our Maritime Clean Air Strategy. And we're hoping to get some direction from them and to have some recommendations for them that we could then roll into the AB 617 SERP. So I just want to give a quick plug. Our next board meeting is scheduled for July 14th. So maybe a quick heads up, I might be reaching out to some of the steering committee members to see if they'd be willing to attend that hearing, be it APCD or CARB staff or members of the community to kind of help support us educate our board on some of our emission reduction efforts.
Great. Thank you, Larry. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to David Flores to give the AB617 Land Use Subcommittee meeting. And before we do that, Kathy and Jim, I'm going to switch you all. So once David finishes, we'll let you go ahead with the toxic hotspot rule, Jim, so that you're not delayed.
Thank you, Daniela. Again, this is a summary of the work in the Land Use Subcommittee. We've had three meetings with our next meeting coming up the 1st of July. We are reviewing a lot of different material and really looking at it from two lenses. One is identifying strategies that are area-wide for portside communities and identifying community specific strategies for both Barrio Logan and National City. So our review parameters are, what is the air quality benefit? What is the community benefit? And why is this important? And also, is there a cumulative impact? Does the strategy do more? And what else is being leveraged? Or is the strategy across agencies? And that's important too, to be able to identify from this list. We'll switch to the next slide, please. So this is a short list of the strategies that we are reviewing. Area-wide strategies include the Port Harbor Drive multimodal study, and that has a lot of different pieces that can benefit both movement of traffic along Harbor Drive, as well as first mile, last mile active transportation projects to augment both pedestrian and bicycle access and use to the different sites along Harbor Drive. We're also reviewing Sandag's list of projects in the AB 617 portside communities that are part of their military multimodal access strategy. And those have some great projects that both in Barrio Logan and National City also connect to urban greening. And then we'll be reviewing a strategy for exposure reduction for the area schools. For community-specific strategies, you see the long list of projects. And for some of those, we are still coordinating meetings with the city of San Diego, follow-ups with the city of National City. But we have a good list going. Next, please. And finally, I think, you know, just to highlight some of the projects that are receiving high interest that we are reviewing as a high benefit potential SERP strategies that include, with the biggest one being on the top, biggest one, I mean, the largest in scope would be a strategy for a Harbor Drive multimodal trolley or rail grade separation combination project. Currently, as we know, there is no escape valve for traffic along Harbor Drive, and the trolley continues to exacerbate traffic impacts through both communities and all the AB 617 area. And so we are diving in a little bit further, and Elisa's been great with the Sandag team in helping us to get also cost information that's included once again in a plan, either City of National City, Port, Sandag, or City of San Diego. Other highlights include relocating the Boston Avenue I-5 on-ramp to 28th Street, which also unlocks the possibility for Boston Avenue linear park and urban greening project. And then a similar strategy along Cesar Chavez Parkway for urban greening and those other projects that you see on the list. Pepper Park for National City came up as an important community benefit project, and also adding additional open space acreage for National City residents, and important bike and ped connections. And finally, of concern is the conversation about housing stability for portside communities and the fact that as both cities, National City and the City of San Diego, advance new housing strategies around transit-oriented development, that those communities continue to experience displacement. And so how can we develop a SERP strategy that adds a little bit more for housing stability, either increasing percentage of affordable housing in new developments or other kind of work like that. With that, I don't know if there are any questions.
Anyone have, the steering committee has any questions if you want to raise your hand? Seeing no hands, any members of the public want to raise your hand? I'm seeing one question from Larry Emerson. Larry says, I live on the east end of National City where the Navy family housing, Bayview housing. Can't the Navy use these funds to provide bus shuttles to the military, to take the military folk to their bases instead of each individual drive their one gas individual vehicles through town on our local road?
Thank you. That would be, that could be something that we consider in land use. And so if the person asking that question can contact us or contact me by email, we can go ahead and look at that and review it. Our goal is to have our list of potential strategies by July 15th, which will be our last meeting. If we define where we define which SERP strategies we can advance and which ones we need more time to develop.
Great, thank you. The committee might also want to get a hold of the city of North of National City's homefront to waterfront plan. Some overlap there from Ted in the chat. Wonderful. Thank you for that update, David. If there's no other comments or questions, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Jim Sweeney, who's going to give us an update on the latest changes to the district's toxic hotspot rule. So Jim, if you're still with us.
Yes, I am. And thank you very much for switching me and Kathy around. I do appreciate that. There's a certain time that I have to switch from computer to phone. So the latest thing on the air toxic hotspots rule, that is rule 1210. This is part of how the district implements the state's air toxic hotspots program. And to remind everyone, that program looks at the stationary sources, the businesses, the companies, what emissions come from those sources, how those emissions impact the surrounding neighborhoods, and then sets who has to notify the neighbors about the emissions, and also who has to reduce their impact as well as the notification. So last year, our board directed us to look at the threshold that we use for cancer risk for when facilities have to reduce their impact. Currently, that number is a risk of 100 in 1 million. Again, that's a risk number, not an actual cases number, but a company currently above that would have to reduce that risk below that threshold. And that is at the high end of what the state originally said the significance threshold should be. So we have had a couple of workshops. We have presented to the district's advisory committee. As part of the developing different options for the board to potentially consider, for most facilities, we did not have actual health risk assessment information. The district instead estimated what the risks would be. And so because most of the facilities don't actually know what thresholds, you know, for a particular threshold, would they be subject to reductions? What would they need to reduce? That type of information, there's not that certainty of where they fit in. And also with, as the state is looking to add a number of new chemicals into this program to be evaluated, and that is going on through the end of the year. So because of needing to do the health risk assessments, which will take about 14 to 16 months to finish out, and letting the state finish out adding in these chemicals so we can look at how that may impact it. The advisory committee determined that there was not enough information to support any particular threshold. And so with that, we will be going back to our board, currently scheduled on July 8th, and requesting an 18-month extension, which would put the new due date to bring the rule to the board of October in 2021. We would give progress reports to the board every 6 months, but that delay, if approved, would allow us to finish out the health risk assessments and see what the state does on adding new chemicals. It would not actually delay actual reductions, because we need the health risk assessment results to know who actually has to reduce. So July 8th, we'll be asking the board to grant an 18-month delay. The board still could decide to adopt a specific threshold. That's, you know, it wouldn't be prohibited, but we are recommending an 18-month delay. And that is the verbal update.
Great, thank you for that, Jim. Does anybody on the steering committee have a question? And if so, you can raise your hand in the chat box.
I had a question.
Go ahead, Joy.
Or really a comment. I mean, I just wanted to note that in addition to, you know, figuring out health risk for each individual facility, I mean, I think that, you know, for the AB 617 work, we might want to consider, you know, setting a goal for what's the cumulative overall, you know, cancer risk for portside communities. So, you know, that's something we can talk about more in the SERP subcommittee, but I want to put that out there since we were talking about, you know, the hot spots tonight.
Okay.
Okay, I've written that down. We'll bring that back to the subcommittee.
Does anybody else on the steering committee have a comment or a question? Members of the public, if you want to raise your hand. Seeing none, we're going to thank you, Jim, again for your quick update. And we are going to now go to Kathy Keehan to give us an update on the incentive funding scenario.
Okay. Hi, all. Thank you for being here. It'll be pretty quick tonight, I hope, for these. I just wanted to give you a quick update on incentive funding. You know, thank you all for supporting the project lists in May. We've taken those project lists forward. We've briefed our management, who's very supportive of that project list. We've briefed the board, board who's supportive of those projects. So we're moving forward. We're sending out contracts for those applicants who qualified for that money. So if you are an applicant or you know an applicant, expect to see something very soon. Certainly a letter from us or from the supervisor's office saying congratulations, and then we'll follow up with contracts and information on those projects. So we're excited to be moving forward on those. It's been a long time. We thank you all for your patience in letting us work our way through that process. We're excited to be getting to this phase, and hope you are too. The second thing I just wanted to bring up tonight was I know Bill had sent out some information about the Sustainable Transportation Equity Project that the state is providing. There's an opportunity for funding with the Sustainable Transportation Equity Project. There's $22 million available statewide for planning and implementing clean transportation. I'm looking over here because that's where my notes are. So I wanted to check tonight and see if the community was interested in potentially participating in that program. There are two separate kinds of applications. There's a planning process application, so to do some additional planning, and there's also an implementation grant opportunity through that funding. It's open to community-based organizations, federally recognized tribes, local governments interested in implementing clean transportation options. There are some meetings coming up. The first one is on June 30th for people who want to find out more information. But I wanted to open it up tonight to see if there was interest on the steering committee, if you all were interested in perhaps shepherding an application for things like zero emission buses, van pool, bike and pedestrian infrastructure, anything that increases access to and use of transportation without a personal vehicle. So I know you guys probably won't have anything tonight, but I encourage you to reach out to me if you are interested and you think you have a project that makes sense. And I see Sandy already is jumping on it. Thank you, Sandy. I will reach out to you.
Does anybody else on the steering committee have a comment or a question on this item for Kathy? If so, if you want to raise your hand in the chat box. Not seeing any. Members of the public, is there anybody that has a question or comment? Raise your hand in the chat box. Okay, not seeing any. Thank you, Kathy. We always appreciate your updates.
Thank you very much.
So with that, we are going to turn it over to David Zajac, who is representative from the U.S. Navy, who is with us tonight to give us an update on the greening initiatives that the Navy is working on at the base. And so, David, did you want to share your screen or did you want me to bring up your presentation? Or Dave, sorry, not David, Dave.
And I should be, okay, can you hear me? Am I live?
Yeah. No, you're there.
All right, wonderful. All right, let me go ahead and try this. I'm gonna try to bring it up on my screen. If I fail, you can help me out here, so stand by. All right. Now, can everyone see that?
I think you need to put share screen on the bottom where it's green. Do you see a green share my screen option?
And once. Bear with me, everybody. Hold it. You're all here, but I lost the visual here.
Might need to get back into the Zoom and then hit the green share screen at the bottom and then follow the cues there.
All right, so Daniela, I am looking at a wonderful Zoom, a white screen with a blue Zoom.
Oh, and is it showing you what's on your screen?
No.
Let me share my screen and I have your presentation up and why don't you just cue me on when you want me to go to the next slide.
All right, wonderful. Now, the challenge is I don't know where I just went.
Oh, in Zoom, I see. You don't.
All right, got it. Nope, I got it now. All right.
Great.
All right, okay, hold it. Let me try to evolve. This will stop other screen sharing.
It's okay, you can do that. Go ahead.
All right, let me. And then I want to do this. But then.
That's correct. And I think you just need to go to your PDF now. So if you minimize this window.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay. And then what I want to do is
hit present.
Move everybody over to the left side.
Yes.
All right. Did I move everyone comfortably?
We do not see that. So that's just your screen. So perfect. You are.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
All right. Thank you so much. And I apologize and I appreciate everyone's patience. That was my maiden voyage right there. So welcome everybody. And Daniela, I am live, correct?
Yes, you are live. Go ahead.
All right. Wonderful. Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Dave Zajac. I'm the Community Planning and Liaison Officer at Navy Base San Diego. And what I hope to provide to you this evening is about a 10 to 15 minute presentation on our 2030 mobility vision. The mobility vision actually is focused on actually aligning the social, economic, and environmental impacts along with the mission impacts for the base. And the goal of the mobility vision, which is directly connected with our installation development plan is to ensure our mission readiness by leading active transportation initiatives for the benefit of all. Now, what you can see here is my, can everyone see my cursor or no?
Yes.
All right, wonderful. So I'll use that tactfully then. So we were just talking about grade separation this evening, right? We were talking about active or multimodal transportation. We're also thinking about congestion and the, basically the, excuse me, the air pollution associated with that. We're also talking about our neighbors, National City, and you can see here, Barrio Logan, and also our neighbors, the shipyards, and 10th Street Port over here, just off the map, and then Pasha, and the National City Terminal here. But what you can see here is the outline of Navy Base San Diego that's bordered by the Interstate 5 and bisected by Harbor Drive, the freight line, rail line, BNSF, and also the trolley. And what I wanted to share with you here is that this area here actually is the main training hub on the West Coast. So this area here matriculates as many students as UCSD on an annual basis. And then the wet side of the base, it's referred to as the wet side because it's the side that's on the waterfront, actually sees this whole combination here, sees as many visitors a day as the airport. And at peak traffic, both inbound and outbound, in AM and PM, I'm sure many in the group here understand that we experience gridlock. Now, our goal on the base is to get more people doing this, right? And you can see these are our sailors, and this is our multimodal strategy, walk a mile, bike 3 miles, because literally this housing area, which represents about 5,000 sailors, we want them to walk across and actually use our trolley system inside the base to actually get down to the south side of the base, which is roughly about a 3 mile commute, or choose to bike. As you can see, this sailor here is already biking. And then you can see here, this is the line in the morning for the trolley. So it's a walk a mile, bike 3 miles campaign to A, improve sailor readiness, but B, reduce this, and then also increase the quality of life, not only for the sailors, but then neighboring communities. Now, what's key to this is that actually we have projects on the books, but currently not funded, for a mobility hub within Navy Land here that has a flyover connector, i.e. a grade separated solution along the trolley and freight line here to provide for a multimodal connection between the dry side of the base, which we refer to as the installation training center. And more or less, this is where we've got our medical and dental services. So roughly everyone here has to get to this side of the base at least 3 times a year. We want to make sure that when they're doing it, they're walking and biking versus having to go out the base and come around, etc., or come around through another option. Right now, there is no direct connection between the wet side of the base and the dry side of the base. And that solution in the future is Vesta Bridge, which is and will be a multimodal concept bridge, which will alleviate traffic congestion. Now, that is a quick, broad brushstroke overview. And if you've got questions, hold on to them, because now what I'm going to do is just do a little bit deeper dive And we're going to go in and talk to some of the major focus areas. So who are we? Kind of, I wanted to kind of dive in first, but a lot of you are in the local community, so you already know who we are, but and you also know that we're in a densely urbanized area. But you may not know that two-thirds of the Pacific Surface Combatant fleet are located at Navy Base San Diego. And surface combatants basically think littoral combat ships, cruisers and destroyers, and amphibious ships. They're the smaller aircraft carriers that support our marine deploying forces that go out into harm's way, but then also play a critical role on securing our sea lanes of operation to support commerce. One of the things that we wanted to mention is that currently we have 12 piers along the waterfront. And what's important to note is all 12 of those piers, when these ships pull into the pier side, they cold iron. I apologize, I'm a former medical logistician, so there's a cold chain management, but here it's cold iron. And what that means is once they plug into the pier, they actually connect all their utilities to the pier and they do not emit any, they don't emit, period. So really it's, they provide hotel services. So you've got electrical, water, sewerage, et cetera, so that the ships do not need to operate. And this also helps us because we can reduce our crews by as many as three quarters. And that allows our staff or our sailors on ship to support their annual training requirements and then also take some much needed leave. And down here, excuse me, the mission of the base is actually to serve the fleet, fighter, and family with excellence in all we do. And we deliver the highest standard of support and quality of life to all who pass through our gates. And as a testament to that, we recently received last year the Commander-in-Chief's annual award for installation excellence. And a lot of the things that we did to achieve that is that we actually provided a lot of focus on energy efficiency and mobility. Because why? Because right here, our challenge is we are an urban base surrounded by land requiring increased coordination. And just like this sub-steering committee is focused on how can we reduce emissions in our environment, we too are active participants in that. And really what we're looking at is how can we get people to mode share, but then how can we get people to get into base quickly and efficiently so they're not idling and just spewing out emissions. What's key to that is I partner with our environmental planning team and our base master planning team and the regional assets and the local community, the port, Sandag, Caltrans, the city of San Diego, city of National City, to figure out how can we develop in a compatible manner. One of the challenges we have, and actually you'll be able to help us out with, is understanding the fact that we have not had a significant infrastructure investment in our transportation network in and around the base for quite some time. I would argue decades. And I think the time's ripe to actually do some good things that could actually, that will help not only the community, but the base and the local economy. And one of the challenges we're right up against is we completed a study last year and identified that by 2026, we're going to be out of parking on base. And now some of you might say, yay. Now, I know you're out there probably clapping, but here's the challenge here. That parking is because we've actually have growth happening on base, and you typically build buildings on parking lots. So we've been challenged and focused on how can we reduce the amount of commuters, just like one of the gentlemen mentioned in the last group chat, how can we get the base to have their sailors commute into base in a more efficient manner? Well, it's a complicated solution, but you know what? Those are the fun ones to go after. All right, next slide. So I'm going to skip over this because I think we all know San Diego, but I don't think we know this highlight here is that actually 10% of the population in San Diego County is military or has a connection with the military. And we are the largest military concentration, not only in California, but in the United States. And in the county, the Department of Defense-oriented or defense-oriented industry is over a fifth of the regional gross product. So almost $50 billion and growing. There's a lot of alignment in what transportation needs are and what military readiness needs are. Because typically when we're moving stuff, it's exactly like our freight and mobility partners, is that we need to move things quickly and efficiently and most of all safely. So when we were looking at our vision, we wanted to lead the Navy and the San Diego region in smart basing and active transportation solutions to not only support the base's mission, but then also support the needs of the surrounding community and beyond. Because we all know that, especially with infrastructure projects, but then also with, you know, one degree of change every day has a positive impact, not only in days and weeks to come, but years to come. And our aims, our mobility vision aims are, we need to first and foremost, we cannot forget who we are and our special role. We need to ensure our mission readiness. We need to support the local economy. And then we also need to improve community health by supporting California's active transportation program. And just as a highlight, I mentioned that Vesta Bridge. Just that bridge alone, on a very, very conservative estimate based upon trip reduction between the wet and the dry side of the base, will reduce 54 metric tons of carbon dioxide per year. And again, that's the bare bone basic number. It should increase it or decrease it much more. So you say, all right, how do we do this? What are we doing? And right here, we've got a list of things that what the base is doing to improve traffic flow and also kind of have these mobility improvements that we all need and desire. Is we partner with Sandag on Bike to Work Week and all the iCommute initiatives. We offer carpool and high occupancy vehicle gates for expedited entry to the base. We limiting personal vehicle trips via the Navy's wet side shuttle program. That is actually our internal shuttle mechanism that we actually improved our efficiency and our throughput last year on it. And again, all these things we're focusing on in a total quality management, total improvement process. Promoting the walk a mile, bike 3 miles, where this comes from, is it's roughly, you can walk a mile in about 15, 20 minutes, and you can bike 3 miles in that amount of time or less. And these are our focuses. Why? Because we're one by 3 miles. So that's the catchphrase, walk a mile, bike 3 miles. And the great thing here is that it stimulates mission readiness, because when the sailors are healthy and well, they're actually able to complete their mission. Supporting the Vesta Bridge project with local, state, and federal agencies, collaborating with National City on their smart growth plan and planning, and then also with participating in regional transportation planning efforts. Now, you might say, okay, Dave, what's a simple concept diagram that actually will show what the base is focused on, both short-term and long-term, to reducing single vehicles' miles traveled and subsequently easing traffic congestion? Well, you can see the list right here. This was already done, Captain Love, the former base commander, and Captain East Wadomi implemented a policy that restricts 5,000 sailors from driving from one side of the base to the other. They must walk. We promote carpools, vanpools, and public transit use through the Sandag iCommute program and a similar federal transportation incentive program. We promote contractor shuttles for ship repairs. And real quick, that's an example right here, because this contractor right here erects this scaffolding up here, and here's their crews coming in. I started a partnering group meeting where we've got the big three shipbuilders and all the ship repair association members are invited to figure out collectively how to improve base throughput and operations, and then also support flex schedules and teleworking. That's in full effect right now, as one can imagine. And then the final side here, or column here, is support the National City Smart Growth Plan. And again, when we talked about the transit-oriented development, National City is within a 15-minute walk or a short bike ride from the base. And as they develop, it's good to figure out how can we overcome challenges and connections between the city, the downtown area, and the base, both the wet side and the dry side. Looking at our land use and our projects to develop more projects in more urban kind of infill and higher density projects on base, much like our Pacific Beacon. And then construct or work with our partners to construct the Vesta Bridge multimodal connector, MTS connector, and also keep doubling down on how can we maximize shuttles. Construct the Navy and Ped Bridge, bike and Ped Bridge, and that's this bridge right here, which right now is only, it's about a 20-year-old bridge, and it is bike and ped friendly, but we want to make it, we need to put in some ramps for it to really stimulate, make it easier for the bikers to get to and fro. And then construct a Navy fleet parking structure. And why that's needed, that's a 1,600 parking stall structure, is that will allow us to actually actually use our land more efficiently so that we can consolidate parking in one location and then open up or unlock that real estate for other mission related needs. All right, last slide here. So looking forward, the goals of these transportation focus initiatives, our goal is to transform the working waterfront and the system, transportation system, to ensure Navy's mission readiness, that we grow the local economy, that we improve community health, and we achieve California's active transportation greenhouse gas reduction goals. So what we're looking at right now is our clarion call is we will be out of parking by 2026. So we need to double and triple down on all the active transportation and behavioral and infrastructure solutions that'll help us achieve our aim and our mission. And some of the goals are enhancing mission readiness and public health by reducing single vehicle miles traveled to and from and within the installation. And you can see here, increasing the proportion of trips accomplished by biking and walking. A key point here is we actually, the base has three times as many cyclists, commuters, as the average Sandag survey respondent organization. So we are actually leading the charge, but we want to exceed where we're at and really break away from the pack, if you will. We want to continue efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, because what's good for the economy on air quality is good for the base. And we want to create a mobility hub, both one internal and then look at opportunities outside the base. And we want to partner with local metropolitan transit to figure out where we can do this. We want to continue to partner with our transportation and multimodal efforts with all state and local agencies. And We will continue to expand and support flex schedules and also telework initiatives. What you can see here is these are more or less like some three concept diagrams on what our focus areas are. And with that, I'll end with we were made history 2 years ago where we were the first bike share. We started the first bike share in the Department of Defense. And then we rebooted it again in 2019 with JUMP. So first year was LIME right here. Second year was JUMP. And now we're moving into 2020. And unfortunately, JUMP has left. So now we're trying to figure out another vendor that can provide for e-bikes for the base, because we were actually having several hundred sailors commute from the base of our pedestrian bridge to the south side of the base. So it was a wonderful opportunity, and we're looking forward to continue that. But with that, Daniela, I'll open up the floor for questions.
Thank you. Thanks, David. So we do have one question from the public, Lawrence Emerson. So I'll call on him. But first, I want to go to the steering committee and see if anybody from the steering committee has any comments or questions for David. And if so, can you raise your hand in the chat box? And I see somebody's hand up. And if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself, Joy.
Yes. David, thank you for that presentation. That was a lot of information, and sounds like you're doing a lot of great stuff. I had a couple questions. One is, I'm wondering if there's been an attempt to quantify the reduction in emissions, or quantify the impact on air quality in portside communities. I mean, what kind of reduction might we expect to see in PM, or NOx in ambient air in the community? And, is that something that can go into the SERP? So that was one question. And then I wondered also, your comments were directed all to, mobility. The bigger picture is the Navy, we keep hearing is doing a Pacific pivot. So, there's a big picture question for us who are looking at air quality in the portside community about what's the total magnitude of that, what will it entail in terms of new ships that are coming that will need repair here, how many new shipyard workers we might expect, how many more sailors might be coming, and is it possible to quantify the impact of all that and start addressing that as one giant project in effect that will be coming and impacting air quality in our communities. So I know that's a lot, but those were my questions. Thank you.
No, thank you, Joy. And my role as the community planning officer, my main focus is not environmental. So I know we have AC Dumal and Nick that are part of the steering committee, so I'll allow them to answer in kind of a little bit more greater detail. But just regarding the pivot to the Pacific and additional ships, I think what's important to note is that all ships, we have the capacity to cold iron all ships, basically 99%, because technically at different points in maintenance, one, they might come off shore power to test systems, but 99% of the time, you've got 30 ships not emitting anything. They're directly connected to the shore power, and you would, and I believe there's a certain portion of the energy that's coming into the base that's being fed from renewable resources. So we purchase all of our power, so we don't generate any power on base. So with that, and then as far as quantify reduction, et cetera, I know AC or Nick are on the call, and I would ask them if they can maybe address that comment, Joy.
Hi, this is AC. We are in the process of gathering data. First off, we do have an emissions inventory that allows us to figure out the quantify the amount of emissions that are generated by the base, and we can then, you know, sort of translate to how does it impact the neighborhood. And I can tell you right now, just seeing those emissions, and those emissions are available through public record. You know, it's very, very low compared to your major producers. I mean, it's not even Title V levels. So they're not as impacting. But, you know, to help, you know, make you feel better, we are in the process, of course, of setting up the air monitoring station. And as you saw from Dave's diagram, from the wet side to the dry side, which also leads into the neighborhood, that air monitoring station is going to be right in the middle of between on Harbor Drive. So when we do have that air monitoring station set up, and trust me, we are working to get that set up, but when it does get set up, you'll be able to see exactly how much of the air pollution is actually making it all the way from the dry, from the wet side and into the dry side and into the neighborhood. So, you know, that data, of course, is going to be forthcoming when the air monitoring station's set up. And last but not least, we do have traffic studies that we from NEPA studies that allow us to understand the nature of the traffic and how that's moving, of course. And that's going to change over time as we, you know, evolve and you know, from what Dave has shown, and as well as the folks at the port. So we're, you know, we definitely would like are working on that portion of it. And so that will help communicate the information that you'd like to know about how are we impacting the community.
And just as a, so thank you, AC, I appreciate that. And just as a comparator, as we mentioned, you know, roughly there's about 30 ships in port at any given time. So they're more or less on these piers, and they're cold iron, so they're not emitting. And that's a good thing, right? And then you've got, in this general vicinity here, we have our Defense Logistics Agency, and then we also have a warehouse here in Distribution Center for our Naval Exchange. But roughly, our truck counts per week are about 150 per week, and that's varying sizes, and many of those aren't diesel. But those are those things that we're also looking at, how do we electrify vehicles as well. And that's one of the things that we tried and honestly failed with MTS because of legal matters, right? Because we're a secure Navy base. So we couldn't partner with MTS to provide for electric or renewable energy buses to gain entrance to the base and actually take over our trolley service. However, we're not giving up. And that, you know, part of the journey is one step at a time. And all parties agree that we need to look further into it and figure out how can we create an actual link via these trolley stops so that people can bike, walk, and have a transit connection into the base.
Great, thank you, David. So we have one more question from Jack Monger, and then if any other student committee members have any questions or comments, if you wanna raise your hand as well. And then if not, we'll go to Larry after Jack. So, do you wanna go ahead?
Thanks, Danielle, it's just a quick comment. I just wanted to say, David, that I had no idea all of these things were taking place. Maybe everybody else did, but I don't go on the base, so I'm not aware of all the plans or construction and other things that you all have done to be more efficient and be a good neighbor. And it's a great story. I hope you're out telling this to particularly the surrounding community in close proximity to the base. And I know I'm glad you came today to share that with us. It's really, really good to hear what the Navy's doing in that regard, particularly in the portside community. Thanks.
No, thank you, Larry.
Great. And so we're going to go now to Lawrence Emerson and the attendees. And Lawrence, you're unmuted, so you can go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, and you can hear me now?
Yes, we can all hear you.
Thank you. This is the first time I tried this system, so I didn't know how it was going to work. I do really appreciate the presentation from the Navy. I think I met Captain Love you mentioned before a couple of years ago. It sounds like he's moved on, but if you can give him regards for all this work that he's done to move things forward, that's really appreciated. And I just wanted to go back to my earlier question where all the Bayview housing, which is on the east side of National City, lots of families, and they all go somewhere, the Navy facilities, but I see them all driving their cars. I don't see any shuttles coming, picking people up. And I think that would help reduce the traffic on the local roads and the pollution from their place to wherever they're going. If the Navy could come up with some shuttle system combined with these other programs you have. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, Larry, that's a great idea. You'll be happy to note, though, they have looked at it, and we will continue to look at it. What it is the way you would think it'd be a homogenous group. Well, it is homogenous. They're all Navy families. But outside of that, like I mentioned, there's 30 ships that are typically in port at the Navy base. And based upon each, if you can think about it, each one of those ships is its own little city. And then they actually have their own public works and et cetera. So suffice it to say, really short answer, there's so many variables. It's a challenge to get an efficient and effective connection. However, we've identified a couple areas that we do that. And one example is shuttling the sailors that are actually at Navy Base San Diego proper. There's about 50 of them that, because of barracks limitations at the Navy Medical Center San Diego by Balboa Park, those sailors get bused up to their place of work and bused back. And then as another example is we've doubled down. There's typically about 3 or 4 ships in the yards for BAE, NASCO, and HII, or Continental Maritime. So we've actually targeted those ships and those crews for marketing for the SANDAG iCommute and the Transportation Incentive Program, so that literally those sailors can walk over to the transit stop at 32nd and Harbor or PAC Fleet, and then shoot down the shuttle to their next stop, either 28th or Barrio Logan, and then get off and walk to work. So we are making inroads, and these are, that last one was a recent improvement that was a focus, thanks to Captain Love, and then also the new commander, Captain Nice Wadomi, is 100% behind all this and leading the charge on this as well. So those are like two examples where we are busing, and we will, I will continue to kind of communicate and coordinate with housing to see what we can do to help out with that. But it is a very complicated process. But I thank you, Lawrence, for bringing it up, and then just know that we are looking at it, and where it works, we're doing it. But I'll make a special effort to look at Bayview housing again with housing. Thank you. Great.
Thanks, David. We really appreciate your presentation. And I think what we can do is make your email available to folks who want to maybe send additional questions that are coming up in the chat box. But we really appreciate that time. So, and thank you for being here today and for joining your colleague, AC, who is here every month with us. So thank you.
Thanks, David.
Great. So with that, we just want to keep you on time. So to keep us on track on time, we're pretty actually okay. We did want to have just a quick conversation about the steering committee recruitment. Right now we are at 27 members. And with the resignation of Andrea Lopez Villafana, and there's also additionally some additional extra members who have not been, who are formally on the list but have not been participating. And so we just wanted to talk to folks just to raise maybe for and maybe not for discussion for this meeting because we're running out of time and we have additional items, but we just wanted to raise the point that you have ideas for community representatives and other people that you think would be great to have on the steering committee. We'd appreciate you emailing those names to Bill and myself at the Air District and encouraging folks to apply to fill the vacancies that we have. And in an ideal scenario, we would have more people that we would have to pick. So that would be great. And then the other thing is for those members of you who are already officially active, if we can also have you guys encourage you to identify an alternate for yourself in case that you're not here. So in the case like of Andrea Lopez Villafana, if you find yourself in a situation that you need to step down, your alternate would be available to step in. So I don't know if there, anyone on the steering committee has any comments on that or ideas, but we just wanted to raise that. Hearing none, I'm going to then move on to the next item, which is the proposal by David Flores and Joy Williams from EHC for the steering committee to sign on to two letters of support. The first letter is a letter to the California Air Resources Board related to their rulemaking on the advanced clean truck rule. So David and Joy, I don't know if either of you wanna unmute yourselves and go ahead.
I can go ahead with that. So the California Air Resources Board will be voting on a rule called the Advanced Clean Truck Rule at their meeting on Thursday. And if you haven't heard of this rule, this is a rule they've been working on for a couple of years. It's gone through many rounds of drafts and been extensively redrafted over time. So what they will be hearing on Thursday is a rule that will require large manufacturers of heavy duty trucks to start phasing in and increasing percentages of the trucks that they're manufacturing will need to be zero emission. So there is another rule that would be a companion rule to this one. And that would require that large fleets also phasing in on a similar timeline will have to start buying some of their fleets, some of their new trucks being electric trucks. So the combined impact of those two rules together would be to accelerate the shift to electric trucks from heavy duty diesel trucks. So, EHC is in support of this, community organizations, environmental justice organizations all over the state are in support of it. Our APCD has repeatedly told us that diesel is the number one pollutant of concern in the portside communities. So, it seems like the steering committee should go on record in support of the rule also. So I wanted to bring that tonight and ask, for a vote. Could we take our support for that rule to the board meeting on Thursday? I did write up a very simple letter, expressing support, expressing that diesel is important for our communities and that we would support the rule moving forward. And that I, wrote it to be short enough that it could be just read into the record on Thursday because, with the all virtual kind of meetings, that would be the way we would get our comments in and make sure that the cardboard hears it. So that was what I had, and I'll take questions if anybody has any.
If you have any questions, you want to raise your hand in the box or just go ahead, Jack.
Thank you, Daniela. I don't have a question as much as a comment. There's another component to this a proposed bill or the proposed rule that is that creates a lot of problem as far as I'm concerned, and for a lot of businesses in the state. It's not the manufacturing requirement that Joy summarized for us. There's now also part of it. The second huge component part of this is a reporting requirement, where the state is going to require.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Jack.
Sorry, we're So where the state's going to require all companies above a certain size and a certain number with a certain number of trucks to begin tracking, reporting, submitting an enormous amount of data about those trucks. And while the goal of this whole thing, which is to ensure that we get to the point as quickly as possible where we meet our goal for electric vehicles, and making those available as much as possible, and you know, hit our GHG goals, reduction goals for the years ahead. The problem is that here in the middle of the COVID 19 pandemic, we've got an issue that is proposing an extensive requirement of reports that are, I mean, close to 40 pages long in terms of the requirements and the outlining of those that are going to just make it impossible for businesses to take this on, understand what they're supposed to do. And very little outreach was done with this rule to these affected communities to see, you know, what does this mean for you guys? How much is it going to affect you? What is it going to cost you to report? Is there a way for us to implement this reporting requirement in a way that that works for you and lets us, you know, reach our goals? Because of the pandemic, there's just been very little opportunity for that kind of communication to take place. And that's true with so many other regulations going on in Sacramento right now. It's just really difficult for everyone to weigh in like we used to. So whereas I don't have a problem with the first part of the letter, I definitely have a problem supporting the reporting aspect in this light truck rule.
Okay, thank you, Jack, for those concerns. Is there, Joy, do you have a response, or is anyone else, if anyone else would like to get in, if you could just raise your hands, or, and Joy, go ahead. Oh, Larry, I see.
Yeah, let's let other people, you know, talk first.
Larry, I see you raising your hand in the chat box, but I think, yes, so in the participant box, you can raise your hand, just a reminder to everybody, but go ahead, Larry.
Thanks, everyone. Yeah, I just want to kind of comment on what Jack said and support him to a certain extent. I'm very, and the port in general, I think, is definitely supportive of the advanced clean truck rule. And Joy, I think you did a really good job drafting the letter. So I'm very comfortable supporting it. But I do want to underscore, particularly if there's any CARB representatives on listening in or on the phone, that the reporting requirements that Jack has mentioned could be somewhat problematic, mainly just from our perspective. I've spoken to a couple of people that are following this at my agency in a little bit more detail, and whether or not the actual reporting requirements is really going to help attain and achieve what it is that we ultimately want to do. So I just wanted to, you know, it's essentially support what Jack's saying, that I think the first part of the rule is good. I think the way Joy drafted the letter is good. I think the concept is great. But if anyone from CARB staff is listening, I think that they should, you know, just be cautious in terms of implementing particularly the reporting requirement.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody from CARB in the attendees want to?
I'm going to, for time, maybe efficiency, I'm going to ask David, Sal and David to go, and then if there's any other list of items for CARB, that then we can have CARB respond to all of those, if that's okay. But Sal, go ahead if you want to unmute yourself. And then
good evening, everyone. I think the letter is written just fine the way it is. I support the way that it is presented. You know, my only concern with omitting any kind of reporting, or it's has been a constant challenge to get the reports to come in. It's a level of enforcement that's missing, you know, and clarification as to those that are applying for the grants or anything like that, right? I mean, the funds keep going to the wrong people, and the reporting by way of enforcement would clean that up and make it a sustainable change, not something that we have to keep readdressing every couple of years, just like we're talking now, or has been discussed that, you know, in 2008, we went through this change. Those vehicles are going out. Now it must be 2010 or newer. sooner or later, I mean, it's just going to keep flowing. And if this initial reporting was taken into the level that it needs to be taken to, we would not be funding corporations to continue operating every couple of years, give them a new, a new bag of money, if you will. So I stand with the letter that is written, and I just hope that we can find a way to enforce these things, because that's the real challenge. You know, I mean, unfortunately, that's the way it is, but that's what I have to say about it. I hope that CARB is on the line and they can explain a little bit more about how they tend on enforcement, as we've seen in the presentation of the steering committees, that they're out about back and forth. So it's just, I know they're underpowered, undermanned, I would say, but it just really does come down to that enforcement. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Sal. David Flores, did you have an additional comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, that I think two things. One is, we're moving in that direction, right, with the work that we're developing for transportation and for trucks, and the port has done great work to this point to help us identify that fleet that can potentially be converted. And so I think this we'll see, also has a timeline. It's not a from one year to the next, and it eases into advancing the strategy. And so I just wanted to say that and to keep that in mind also. Thanks.
Great. And if anybody on the attendee line from CARB would like to say something, and I'm seeing Emily Weir. So Emily, are you with CARB?
Emily's with Supervisor Fletcher's office.
Great. So Vernon from CARB is saying that we have multiple CARB staff. However, no one here is from the mobile source team, which would be that rule. So unfortunately, nobody from CARB is able to speak specifically to the concerns here. Emily, would you like to make a comment? I can unmute you here if you would like to go ahead.
Great. Thanks. I just wanted to chime in, kind of on this reporting question. This has come up quite a lot. Supervisor Fletcher does sit on the CARB board. And what we found in doing research is that, companies that, reporting and that are subject to reporting requirements are much more likely to adhere to the environmental regulations that are put in place. So I think, this feedback is helpful kind of as we strive to create a balance. I think that reporting requirement is now down to companies with 50 trucks at this point in time. But things are shifting, and happy to follow up offline.
Great, thank you, Emily. So I do want to flag that at 7:58. So we're going to go slightly over this evening, but I don't want to rush this conversation. So if there are any other comments from the steering committee, raise your hand. Seeing none, are there any? Oh, okay. Yes, Jack, you can go ahead.
Hi, just to clarify, I'm not in opposed to the ultimate reporting and the goal of having these reports submitted and the data that CARB wants to collect. At all, I'm just saying is, as it's written, this is such a difficult to understand document. Even for a large business with a staff of people who have time to go through it and try to figure out what it is they're supposed to do, it's going to be difficult. So you get down to this is an anticipated, CARB has said that this will affect 10,000 businesses in the state of California. That's a lot of smaller businesses, and they're not going to know what to do. And I just think that's the wrong way to put a regulation out there that's so important. If you do it right from the first, if you make sure everybody understands it and it's clear, then it stands a much better chance of working. And that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Joy, you can go ahead.
Yeah, just trying to figure out how to close the discussion. I mean, it seems we don't have a consensus on the committee, so I'm not sure if we're taking a vote or are,
this is a good This is a good thing. So we are losing Ashley. She has a hard stop at 8, so I'm so sorry. So the charter actually does not state that we are a consensus body. We are a consensus that votes by our decision-making process is a motion and a vote by majority. So if we can, I know if folks can, if Roman, if you can stay on for at least the vote, I think what would the next step in the process would be to have somebody make a motion and then have the steering committee vote. And if majority of the steering committee are in favor, then the motion will pass. So would somebody like to make a motion in regards to the letter?
So I'll bring, I'll make the motion to vote on accepting the letter as written by Joy and David.
I'll second that.
Great. So if anybody, I'm going to go the short way. If anybody has any no's, I'm typing no into the box now. If you can just type your name if you are against the motion. And I think the internet is slow today, so I'm going to give people some time. So if you are against the motion to approve the letter, please say no. Type your name in the box. Seeing no one's name, are there any abstentions?
Danielle. Yes. I'm sorry. For some reason, I cannot find the box where you type something in. Where?
Oh, okay. Well, why don't we just, you and Leanna, I think, are by phone. So do you want to give me your votes?
Okay. Yeah, I would vote no.
Okay. I'm going to type you as a no. Leanna, are you a no or an abstention?
I vote in support.
Okay. So is yes. So I have two abstentions from Sarah and AC. Anybody else? So everyone else, if you are voting yes, can you just type your first name and yes, or the letter Y next to it, just to do it quickly. Okay. And Sal voted privately to me, but he voted yes. So just to document that in the chat. Okay, David, could you do a count for me? But it looks like we have a majority here in favor of sending the letter supporting the letter, sending the letter. Is that correct, David?
Yeah, that's correct, Daniela.
Okay, wonderful. So so we have an approval then from the steering committee to send the letter as is, Joy.
Hey, Daniela, this is Sarah.
Yes.
I only abstained because, frankly, I didn't have enough time to review this material between when it came out this afternoon and the meeting tonight. I don't know if in the future there's a way. I mean, I understand with COVID it's difficult. You know, we're running into some barriers and things like that. But it seems like we're getting a lot of documents just in the few hours before the meetings.
You know, thank you for raising that, and that's fair. And so, yes, that is something that we can do, and I'm sorry that we put you in that position, Sarah. Okay, so with that, the motion has passed. In the next letter that EHC had wanted to bring to the item was for the steering committee to discuss 617 funding in the state budget. So Joy, do you have a quick update there?
Yeah, the update is I don't think we need to send this letter. We were hearing that the legislator had allocated $50 million for AB 617 implementation, but that the governor was hesitating to include that. There was some danger that he might, line item that one out. So we wanted to send a letter expressing the steering committee's support for leaving that funding in there. What I was hearing late this afternoon is that it will be, is the governor has agreed to leave that in the budget. So I don't have final confirmation on, is it the full 50 million, but what I was hearing sounded good, and I don't think we'll need to go ahead with that letter. So thank you.
Great. Time. Thank you. So for the next item, Sandy, did you like to, this was an item you brought, would you like to discuss it now, or would you like to move this to the next month's meeting?
I actually like to discuss it now, so I could be real quick. Go so, I just want to reiterate to Daniela, just apologies that you guys didn't get this letter in advance to review it. So, what I'm going to do for today, I'm going to just kind of give highlights of what this letter is. So at the moment we are in a moment where we're seeing the impacts of what COVID is doing to our communities, and specifically to our environmental justice communities, communities that have been exposed to long-term air pollution. Harvard released a study that shows that communities that have these exposure have an 8% chance of dying from COVID. So with Governor Gavin Newsom adopting AB 423, which is restructuring our air pollution board, we actually have an opportunity to do now to invest in our communities by establishing the Office of Environmental Justice. The budget is being shaped in the coming weeks, and we can do this now instead of waiting later. And so what you see in this letter is highlighting, you know, what our communities are at, the risk, and the impacts they have been exposed to, and the solution of creating this office. As we've seen, CARB has an Office of Environmental Justice, and our communities deserve to have this, because this will help achieve the goals that we see here in the AB 617. And on top of that, that this will be funded, and this will be part as a SERP strategy. And so what I hope is that you guys will vote in favor of signing on to this letter, and we'll submit this to the County Board of Supervisors. Timeline is on July 8th for that meeting.
Great, thank you, Sandy. And I believe that letter was sent out to folks earlier today. Unfortunately, I think it was sent this afternoon, so we apologize for the short notice. Are there any questions for Sandy?
Just want everyone to know that the board did vote to approve a County Office of Equity and Racial Justice. But there's still, Supervisor Fletcher still interested in taking a board letter or a letter to the current board to establish an Office of Environmental Justice within the Air Pollution Control District. Emily or Rob, would you want to add anything to that?
This is Emily Weir with Supervisor Fletcher. Just kind of to note on that, the you know, what was adopted today is really important. You know, Office of Equity and Racial Justice that will extend kind of across the county. But given AB 423 and the restructuring of the Air Pollution Control District, it will now be a separate entity starting March 1st of 2020. So I guess I see, you know, there's a potential need. Given that the, you know, that this existing or the recently adopted Office of Equity and Racial Justice won't extend to the new APCD starting March 1 of 2021.
Great. Thank you for that clarification, Emily. Is there anyone from the steering committee that had a comment or a question for Sandy or for Emily or for APCD staff? If so, raise your hand in the participant box. Not seeing any. Are there, oh, seeing one, and my computer is slow, so I see Jack and then David.
Daniela, perdón, quise mandar a favor el voto, pero no pude mandar, así que.
A favor de la carta anterior?
La carta, sí.
Okay, gracias, Alicia. Okay, ya lo voy a contar.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Thanks, Daniela. Just I think if our committee is going to support the establishment of a new office with great expectations about how it's going to impact environmental justice in the community, I think we need to have some outline, some description of what this office is going to do, what the scope of its work is going to be. Who it is going to be, how it's going to be funded, where it's going to fit into the county structure or the air district structure, and understand those details and many more before we, you know, because what are we endorsing? We're just endorsing a, you know, kind of a wide open concept here that is certainly deserving, but the devil's in the details in terms of how this, you know, what's going to actually happen and what's going to do. And if there are some special expectations that it sounds to me like people have for what an office like this could do, then we need to have an opportunity to establish those as criteria that are important to us before we indicate that we're supporting it. It may not even have, it may not be directed if the local board sets it up in any way, shape, or form like what we're talking about here or what Sandy was describing. So I think, you know, typically don't most of us, before we decide whether we're going to support something or oppose something, say, you know, tell me how this is going to work. What's it going to do? How are you going to accomplish these goals? What are your goals? None of that really is available to us, at least at this point in time, not to say it won't be in the months ahead, but that would be the time to weigh in, I think, as a steering committee and support this and then discuss it.
Okay, great. And sorry about that. We're having some technical difficulties with the interpreter. Elisa, are you able to hear me now without the interpreter?
Yes, I exited from the interpretation.
That would do it. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, I see David Flores next.
Yeah, thank you, Daniela. Just a couple of comments. One is that I think by us including this as a SERP strategy, we can address a lot of what Jack is bringing up. And I don't know, how quick or how slow action really is going to be needed at the Board of Supervisors. But I do see that with the new restructuring of APCD, it is going to be very important and critical to make sure not only that communities have internally somebody that's working across agencies and jurisdictions, but also that is the champion for continuing the pursuit of state funding, of other funding, of leveraging funding, right, of connecting with other stakeholders to make sure that the work continues through the SERP and then into other disadvantaged communities like San Ysidro, like El Centro, that have air quality issues. And so reaching the community work like we have been doing with this steering committee, I think is important to make sure that there is that that central office at the APCD moving forward. So it's important. And I understand that it's just supporting the concept right now, but I think it's an important time to do that because of, again, the impacts of that communities have been suffering for a long time with air quality, but also on transforming and moving it into the new, you know, the new work moving forward. Thanks.
Okay, and do I see another hand from Jack, or did I just not lower your hand earlier?
No, but if there's somebody else who wants to speak first, I'll wait.
Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to make a comment?
This is Sarah. Again, I still have the same problem with this. We just saw this a few hours ago, and it feels like something that's been worked on behind the scenes for quite a while. And I just feel like I haven't had a chance to absorb it or answer any or understand any of the questions that Jack is raising. I think those are important questions to know before we sign on to this. So I hope that we won't be voting on this tonight, but maybe have an opportunity to hear more about the direction that we see this going and where the funding is coming from and what the missions of this office will be.
Okay. Thank you. Silvia would like to speak. Go ahead, Silvia. You can unmute yourself.
Yes. I also agree with, I'm 100% supporting the Office of Environmental Justice, but I think it will probably be more productive if they do provide some type of organizational structure, because that would definitely push that in decision-making. It'll probably ease it up. So we could create some type of structure and promote that right away in this letter, I'm sure that will go even faster. So I'm all for the Office of Environmental Justice. So thank you for getting it together.
Okay. So are there any other comments before we go back to Jack? Sandy, in terms of just a question to you, given the concerns, you mentioned July 8th deadline. Is the July 8th board meeting what's driving the desire to get the letter signed off by today, or are there other opportunities after July 8th?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely, you know, the opportunities is, you know, going, kind of responding to Jack and, you know, reiterating what David said is that this is like initial concept, right? So this is an initial concept that we'll get an opportunity to work out those details and look at what the best practices that we've seen, like the Office of Environmental Justice at CARB. And I think right now is a great opportunity following, you know, the county just established, you know, the Office of Racial and Equity Department. And so, you know, this is following after that, considering like uplifting our communities and how we can start discussing that as part of the SERP strategy. I mean, our SERP strategy, you know, we have the timeline coming up this, you know, this summer, fall. So I think this is the opportunity we can do it in tandem.
So would one suggestion, and this is just a suggestion as facilitator, given that we're just where we are, could an option be that we can send a letter to the board expressing not necessarily support, but interest in learning more, and maybe an invitation to appropriate staff or officials from the county to provide a meeting, an update, maybe a more in-depth presentation on this at our July meeting. And maybe that letter could be that we send is more of just like stating there's an interest that we have this deadline on the SERP, and where there's an interest in how we can incorporate this as a strategy, and we would like another presentation. Would that be something that would be amenable to folks?
I could entertain that.
I would be fine with that as well, because I think if it is going to be part of the SERP, then we need to go through the process as a committee of hearing it, considering it, and voting on and deciding that is in fact something that should be part of the SERP. As opposed to it almost sounds like it's a done deal in some people's minds that is part of it, and we haven't even begun to talk about emission reduction plans. Really, in any detail. So, I think the right thing is to say, I would support what you described, Daniela.
Great. And so, to reiterate what I said, and if I cannot make a motion as a facilitator, but I think that if somebody would entertain a motion that I think that we're, or actually, it wasn't an issue to vote on. Well, it was sort of. So, okay, sorry. So the motion was, I would suggest it to the committee would be that we would edit the letter to state that, you know, our steering committee is interested in learning more about this office and the potential of an inclusion of it in our SERP strategy, and that extending an invitation for folks to come speak at our July meeting. And would somebody like to make that formal motion?
I would make that motion. This is Jack.
Daniela, could somebody type the motion on the chat box?
Okay. Yes. All right. I'm going to type it. Or Chewy, can you type it? I'm having slow issues here.
This is Rob from the district. May I chime in, the interim director? We're very interested in exploring the idea. It will take some time to strategize exactly how we're going to do this, but I just wanted to assure you that it won't take a letter to the Board of Supervisors to ask the district to give a presentation in July. We'd be happy to do that with or without your motion. So just know that, please. And we hear you, we're looking at it. We understand there'd be funding issues to work through, all the details of what it would do. So it does seem like it would be ripe for a SERP measure that would give us the time to make sure when we set it up for success and that it's sustained But ultimately, it's your decision and it's our board's decision. I just wanted to assure you that as staff, we will present whatever you want, whatever information you want to know, we'll be there to give it to you. You don't need a motion for that.
And I was actually not sure that that it would actually be the Air District staff, but that makes a lot of sense, Rob. So, I mean, I think if folks feel as we don't need to, if Rob's saying we don't need necessarily a motion, is there still a need to send a letter, do you want, to the county's board of supervisors, or are we okay with simply delegating to Air District staff, and I as a will commit to ensure that on the July agenda we have the establishment of the Office of Environmental Justice as an agenda item. Sandy?
And the item for the steering committee.
For the steering committee meeting, yeah. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Sandy, I think you're
so Danielle, with Emily on the line listening to all this, I really think it would be appropriate as well, and she can certainly weigh in on this suggestion that clearly Supervisor Fletcher is trying to do something productive with his proposal. I know that it's met a little resistance and from Reverend Shane Harris, but it might be helpful for us to hear from him, and then so he could hear from us about how, and particularly from the community, to hear how something like an environmental justice Office of Environmental Justice could be incorporated into what he's forming, or does it have to be separate, or how might all of it be? Working with him would be, I think, a wise choice at this point in time.
Okay, Emily, if you want to go ahead.
Yes, and I'll just be really quick. I think this is just something we're interested in. We see, the kind of the need from the community. Obviously, working with the AB617 steering committee has been really important and really wonderful, and we want to kind of set you all up for success. And so this is kind of, a listening exercise, as well as, taking some feedback and seeing how best we can support you as we're kind of starting to think about this transition towards towards next March, and additional APCD programs that are going on, and what is that kind of bigger picture. So I think this has been a really, really fruitful discussion, and appreciate everybody's consideration for this idea. Maybe this is worthwhile a broader conversation at the July meeting.
Wonderful. And Emily, we hope you or someone from your staff can come back in July to be part of that conversation with us. So we have agreement, I think it sounds like, or consensus that we'll move this to the July agenda item, July meeting agenda for the steering committee, and we will provide ample time and make sure that we get documents for everyone to review ahead of time. Okay, any additional comments? Okay, with that, I will, the next item is, thank you, Sandy, for that, and thank you, everyone, for expressing your concerns and your ideas, and thank you, Emily, for being here and for expressing your office's support. So with that, I just wanted to open it up to see if there's any comments from the members of the public who are in attendee mode, and if so, just ask that in the participant box you raise your hand. Seeing none, then I'm going to just go ahead and close our meeting. Our next meeting is July 21st. So la próxima reunión es el 21 de julio. Same time, same Zoom, less technical difficulties. So sorry about that, and full responsibility. But we had it too good. All of our meetings had been so smooth, so we had to have a rocky one. So I appreciate everybody. I appreciate your candid feedback on, as we're developing and implementing our new charter and figuring out how we make decisions as a group, how do we do that in a way that's equitable for everybody. We will probably in July be talking about, if you have ideas between now and July for steering committee recruitment and have any questions, please do send that. I did get a request to see the full list of the roster so people could have an idea of which areas we're needing representation in. So I'll work with Bill to make sure that we send that, the link to the updated roster out. And if you have any agenda topics, feel free to let us know. And any other comments from the steering committee before we close? Or staff, Bill or Rob?
Wanted to thank everyone for attending, and you know, sorry about the delay on a few of the things. Well, we probably have to set like a minimum of a week in advance to get the agenda finalized and all the documents in. But we're trying to be flexible on a few things that were in flux. So we'll have to see how to deal with that in the future. But thank everyone for staying extra and have a good evening.
Yes, we appreciate that. And we will follow up with the note shortly later this week. So thank you so much, everybody. We appreciate you always. And I am seeing one comment in the chat. The chat box will close. It's just a thank you and a goodbye. Okay. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you and your time always. And thank you to the members of the public and CARB and everywhere else. Okay. Bye. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Good familia.
Job, Daniela.
Yeah. Thanks.
Gracias a ustedes. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you.